Real people, real radio. Wherever you are, make it TFR. Truth Frequency Radio.
Hello. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys for being here. This is, of course, Red Pill Reports. Today is the 5th day of January, and we are live right now. My name is JD. We are live just like I mentioned a second ago, like we are every day, Monday through Friday. Of course, this is your daily dose of deprogramming, and it is Monday. Once again, it's happened. You always think it's going to happen to somebody else, and then boom, there you are, Monday. But anyway, we're going to get through it together, ladies and gentlemen. That's the key here at Red Pill Reports, is that everything we do, we're doing together from this point forward. And I tell you, we hit a little milestone this last week. Maybe you guys know, maybe you don't. But we have officially been on the air for 2 months. So yay, 2 months under the belt. Not really a real notable milestone, but certainly for us it is. And I have to tell you, the response from the listeners has been outstanding. So many people going to the website, so many people sending us emails, giving us suggestions for guests, and just essentially being happy to be part of the Red Pill Reports family as we're growing together. So I'm just really, really astounded and humbled by the response that we've gotten. And some of the emails I got over the weekend were just awesome. So thank you guys out there who are sharing the website with people, who are encouraging other people to check it out. And for those of you who are checking out the show on a daily basis, I definitely, definitely appreciate that. We definitely hit a high water mark on Friday with Stan Deo in terms of listeners. That was the largest listening audience that we have had yet. So I promise, since it seems like you guys like guests like that, we'll have Stan back on the show post-haste. Also, L.A. Marzulli will be back on the show, I think, in a couple of weeks. So continuing to try to do our best to bring you guys the best guests in the industry out there, try and bring you guys as much interesting information as we possibly can. The crew at Red Pill here just works so hard behind the scenes. Rob and Jeff, just awesome, awesome dudes making it all happen for you guys out there. A little bit of bad news. Dr. Harris was supposed to be on the show tomorrow. He is under the weather. So the silver lining there is that we'll have a surprise guest on tomorrow. So you guys, it might be, who knows who it might be. I don't have time to even conjecture about it right now, guys. But it should be pretty awesome because the guests are always really awesome. Here's the deal, though. Here's what I would do. Chris and Cherie Geo going to be on the show today at 11 o'clock, second hour. And so I would just keep it on. I wouldn't even turn off Truth Frequency between now and, say, Wednesday, because no matter who the guest is, Tuesday, it's going to be awesome. But Wednesday, Commander Dale Brown is going to be back on the show again. And I tell you, I'm going to continue to say this. This guy has got my nomination for President of the Universe right now. That's how much I respect Commander Dale Brown. And we'll be obviously talking about his threat management center up there in Detroit, which is a private security force, 2 decades of accolades in the community there, and a track record that's just absolutely unbelievable. So we'll talk a little bit about his track record, talk a little bit more about what the actual issues are with law enforcement in our country right now, because obviously Dale's template is one of the ones that we should all be following to to get us all back on track. Anyway, so that's what we'll be talking about with him on Wednesday. Chris and Cherie Geo, as I said, be here at 11 o'clock today. And I think we're going to be talking about a pretty macro view of New World Order type agendas. And what I'd really like to talk about with them, because they both have got such an extensive background and such a their research is so multidisciplinary that it crosses over into all kinds of streams. But I'd like to talk a little bit about the ancient bloodlines that are on the planet, how these people are trying to perpetuate some of the ancient bloodlines in their control grid, and see what Chris and Sherry have to say about all of that. We'll obviously talk a little bit about the network and about some of the plans for the upcoming year, but should be a very, very good conversation. Make it into the cult of Saturn and things like that. So definitely going to keep it a little ethereal here today. Should be a good Monday, and so what we got to do, get through Monday here, guys. So anyway, surprise guest tomorrow, Commander Dale Brown on Wednesday. And yeah, so that's pretty much everything I have to say about all of that right now. Definitely want to give you guys another heads up about the mortgage crisis story that we're working on here. There are going to be some more developments in that story in the next couple of weeks. Going to be looking at creating some community leaders and attempting to actually get some feet in the offices of our state senators and also of our federal representatives, so we can actually start holding some feet to the fire, because obviously this investigation into the mortgage crisis, which has stemmed into, you know, the largest tax evasion in history, and also obviously funneling all of those derivatives overseas to fund little organizations you might have heard of called ISIS and Al-Qaeda and things like that. So obviously all that information has already been compiled and sent to the appropriate people who are supposed to be doing something about it. So now essentially we're going to ask people to go into those offices and say, listen, you know, we have you on this list, has already received all this information, and you haven't done anything. So now you're on notice. You got 10 days, and if we don't see some action, we're going to have major problems. So we're going to essentially kick it up a notch in this whole mortgage crisis issue. And so do stay tuned to Red Pill Reports for that in the next couple of weeks. Also, of course, if you go to redpillreports.com, you can go to the mortgage crisis link and find all of those articles. I still really encourage you guys to get those articles in front of friends, because, again, the further we can spread this information, the quicker we'll bring this to resolution. So you guys are active participants in bringing about the destruction of this criminal, crazy corporate banking cartel that's running the planet right now. So this petition that Greg Morris and Scott Bennett have got together is something that you can actually do today and start making some headway against this. So you guys asked for action items. We're going to kick it up a notch. Just stay tuned, and I'll have more information for you guys when I get it. Also, please check out the Carrot Bars link at the top there. You know, right now, I'm not going to jump into economic news right now, but I'll tell you, oil has found a new low today, ladies and gentlemen, another five-year low, and people are clamoring to get into physical gold right now. And by people, I mean the entire country of China, and I mean the entire country of Russia. These countries are planning for something, and to not have physical gold right now, it just doesn't make any sense to me at all. So Carrot Bars is one of the companies that we're affiliated with, and they are absolutely amazing in terms of their delivery, in terms of the whole organization. So if you're interested in learning how you can get physical gold in small, usable quantities, I'd really recommend Carrot Bars. And if you want to send us an email, we'll be happy to get in touch with you and let you know what we know about that. So let's move on, because there's always a lot of news. Again, if you go to redpillreports.com, under the show section, there's a show section there today, obviously, with Chris and Cherie Geo. You can learn a little bit more about them in case you don't know who they are, which would be crazy because you're listening to Truth Frequency right now, and obviously they're pretty integral to the Truth Frequency system. But anyway, underneath all of the guest information there will be a whole bunch of articles, because obviously Mondays are big news days. There's a lot of stuff that goes on over the weekends, and we try and cover it all in the first hour. Usually I go on one of these mini tirades and can't get to it all. So for those instances, which is just been every day for the last 2 months, you guys might want to go to redpillreports.com and check out some of those articles. Also, you can follow along, see where I'm getting the sources, and we can all kind of go through together and figure out, you know, not only whether or not what they're telling us is true, but why they're telling us what they're telling us, because that's kind of the name of the game around here, is trying to figure out, you know, how the information that's being spoon-fed to the masses via mainstream media is actually being used to, you know, to control a script. And what that script may end up leading to, I guess, is what we're all trying to figure out here. So please go to redpillreports.com. You can also click on the Listen Live link there, and you'll be able to hear our shows live while they're happening. And if you to use your data minutes, you can call in directly with your phone to Truth Frequency at 832-225-5308, and that will broadcast the show over your phone via the minutes, not using your data plan. So if you're one of those guys that doesn't have a whole bunch of data on your phone, you can dial in direct, and you'll still be able to get the show that way. So that's what's happening there. That's all I know right now. Thank you guys for the people who are going to redpillreports.com and checking it out. It makes a huge deal, huge difference in our lives. Lets me know that I'm not just sitting here talking to myself or to the cat. So anyway, let's move on to some international news right now. There's new news coming out of Libya right now. Libya, obviously, since the overthrow of Gaddafi in 11, has been under pretty sustained fighting and pretty sustained conflict, and some of that boiled over this weekend. According to Reuters, forces loyal to Libya's internationally recognized government, or the junta that was put in by NATO, I guess would be another way to say that, on Sunday, those forces loyal to Libya's internationally recognized government launched airstrikes on the country's biggest steel plant in Misrata, according to officials there, hitting the western city allied to a rival group for a second consecutive day. So there were bombs being dropped on Saturday and as well as Sunday, but on Sunday they escalated to the point where they took out the largest steel plant in the country, which was there in Misrata. Turkish Airlines, also the only foreign airline still flying in and out of Libya, canceled flights from Misrata to Istanbul, according to the website of the Istanbul airport. The prime minister, or the recognized prime minister, I guess I should say, has been forced to run a rump state in the east since a group known as Libya Dawn, who is linked to Misrata, took control of Tripoli last August and set up a rival government. Are you getting confused yet? You want to get a spreadsheet out and start drawing pictures? Because I need crayons, I think, and simple drawings to try and keep all these players straight. But the chairman of the Libyan Iron and Steel Company, also called LISCO, said that warplanes hit the plant's perimeter and a wall near a company training center around 1100 o'clock or 11 o'clock local time. The state agency loyal to the rival Tripoli government said a plane had also tried attacking an Air Force academy near the civilian airport, but fired its rockets too early after coming under anti-aircraft fire, and it did not strike its target. So, of course, since Gaddafi was ousted in 2011, Libya has really been trying to attain stability and has not been able to do so. So former rebel brigades, which once fought side by side, have now turned on each other, aligning themselves with rival political factions in a scramble for control. And Libya, I tell you, I'd really like to try and get the Moriartys on the show, because they were business people there. They spent a lot of time there, and they still have a lot of connections to the tribal leadership that is attempting to, basically keep the entire country from falling apart right now. But from the indications and from the research that I've done into Libya before the downfall of Gaddafi, it would not have been a bad place to live by any stretch of the imagination. It would have been actually really, really nice. So it's really a shame that this war still continuing to unfold in Libya right now. I'd love to talk to the Moriartys and get some more insight on what's going on there. Anyway, let's move on to Saudi Arabia. The Saudi Arabian king is now apparently officially suffering from pneumonia, and he temporarily needed help breathing through a tube. It's now been released from Saudi Arabia. Of course, this gentleman is 90 years old. He's been transferred to a military hospital in the capital, Riyadh, earlier this week, and he had been experiencing shortness of breath and back pain. They do say, of course, this all is going to have a major effect on oil prices right now. I always wonder, too, with everything that's going on with OPEC, how it's convenient that this king just suddenly became sick with pneumonia. But obviously a lot of people paying attention to what's going on there, because we had the article last week talking about potential succession and how anybody stepping up to replace the Saudi king is going to essentially be able to rewrite foreign policy, rewrite their OPEC, policy in whatever way they see fit at the time. So obviously, this gentleman being the king and being sick right now is high on the radar screen for a lot of people internationally, not only from a business perspective, but from, just a geopolitical perspective as well. So we'll keep an eye on what is going on with him. Let's see here. Israel, pretty upset. Obviously, we had Palestine trying to gain statehood or stateship recognition at the UN last week, and that that resolution failed. But Palestine has now approached the International Criminal Court and is attempting to basically they're attempting to seek recognition at the International Criminal Court so that they can proceed with prosecuting Israel for war, what they consider to be war crimes committed on their territory, obviously going back to this summer with Gaza. But Israel right now is not pleased that Palestine is trying to make that change. So Israel is withholding critical tax revenue and also seeking ways to bring war crimes prosecution against Palestine leaders in retaliation. So they're not only, it's, you know, we're obviously seeing a tit for tat right now, but one thing that a lot of people probably are not aware of is that tax revenues are collected and distributed to the Palestinian Authority by Israel. A lot of people probably don't know that. So right now, they get about $125 million a month from Israel. And so Israel has said, well, if you guys are going to attempt to prosecute us at the ICC, then we're going to withhold all of that tax revenue. So essentially, that's what's going on right now. Not de-escalation, I guess, would be the best way to put this right now. We're seeing not de-escalation happening in the Middle East between Israel and Palestine. Par for the course. 2015, yay. Happy to be a part of it all. All right. News out of Iran suggested that they thwarted a Mossad attempt at assassinating a nuclear scientist there. Whew, that's a big mouthful to say, but that's what they're saying right now. That, pardon me, Iran's elite Revolutionary Guard Corps thwarted a Mossad assassination attempt against one of its nuclear scientists, according to a senior Iranian security official. He said this on Saturday. And according to the report by CBS News, this happened, according to a report last year from CBS News, the Obama administration pressured Israel to stop carrying out assassinations inside of Iran against the country's nuclear scientists. And although Israel has never admitted to carrying out such killings, at least five scientists have been killed, mostly by car bombs. And Mossad officials actually concluded that the assassination campaign was too dangerous for its spies. And this obviously came amidst Washington's attempt to reach a nuclear deal with Iran. So is Mossad there actively trying to take out Iranian nuclear scientists? Well, there's potential there, I think. So there you go. That's what's going on there. Hang on one second, guys. I'm getting texts from our guests. Texts from the guests right now. Okay, moving back on to the news here. Obama has officially decided to sanction North Korea, despite the fact that the FBI allegations that North Korea was behind the hacking of the Sony Pictures have pretty much now been discredited. Cybersecurity experts pointing a finger instead at a group of hackers centered around a disgruntled former employee. However, Barack Obama still, over the weekend, decided to announce a new round of sanctions against North Korea, explicitly in retaliation for said Sony hack. So White House officials term the sanctions as the first aspect of the president's promised proportional retaliation against North Korea for canceling the release of the Sony movie, which essentially wasn't canceled anyway. So ridiculous. And the timing of the sanctions suggests there's obviously more than just a botched FBI investigation behind them. However, the sanctions were announced just one day after both North and South Korea began talking up a summit designed to improve ties between the two. Whenever North Korea has suggested any sort of rapprochement with the U.S., it has always been dismissed by Obama out of hand, and this move may be designed to sabotage any of the South Korean talks, or at least to send a signal that no matter what the Park government decides, the U.S. is still going to remain hostile to North Korea. And this obviously follows on the report that we had last week about South Korea planning on dropping 100,000 copies of The Interview by balloon. Obviously, we'll probably seek to inflame the situation there a little bit. Just absolutely crazy. Islamic State militants have kidnapped at least 170 men in two villages in northern Iraq, according to officials and locals. The jihadists are reportedly searching for people who were burning their flags. This is a report from InfoWars today. And the men were abducted from villages of Al-Shajara and Girab in Kirkuk province early on Friday. And it was reported that two flags of the ISIS, or ISIL, were burned in the area. So members of the organizations who were driving around 30 vehicles took the kidnapped people to the center of Hawija, which is a town there, and this is according to an intelligence officer's report to the AFP. Hawija, with about 450,000 inhabitants, has a jihadist court and a prison. And the Girab resident said that ISIS fighters took about 90 men from the village, adding that they were searching for 15 men who set ablaze the militants' flags there. So still things happening in the Middle East under the thumb of ISIS and potentially people burning flags, and Iraq not looking super great right now. Man, huge story coming out of the UK in regard to Jeffrey Epstein and his VIP, we'll say pedophilia orgies, I guess would be the only real way to describe that. But apparently now, Prince Andrew may have been secretly recorded with these underage girls that he is alleged to have been abusing. So he's got this Prince Andrew is really good friends with Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein, of course, was arrested last year after so many reports coming out that he was holding sex slaves at his private home in the U.S. Virgin Islands. Should also be said that he, at the time of his arrest, was found to have 21 different phone numbers for Bill Clinton, all unlisted. Imagine that. Imagine that Clinton was a guest at one of these homes. Anyway, Prince Andrew could be under a lot of trouble right now because although Epstein is in prison, some of the documents from the court cases have been combed over by investigators, and it turns out that Epstein was widely known to have put video cameras into all of his locations that he owned there, and so pretty good chance that a lot of these gentlemen who were taking part with Epstein in these underage orgies were all on film, and potentially are still on film, because the financier, of course, we're talking about Epstein here, he was jailed for 18 months back in 2008 after pleading guilty to solicitation for prostitution, but apparently he kept a sickening stash of images on a computer seized at his Palm Beach mansion back in 2006. They are now reporting that he may have taken lewd photographs of Jane Doe, number 102, which is this woman that is essentially accusing Prince Andrew of abusing her. In the initial report, she was considered Jane Doe 102. In the current legislation the current litigation that's going through, she has got a different name, but it's the same person. Essentially, they may have lewd photographs of her and Prince Andrew together. She says also that she was sex trafficked to many powerful men, including numerous prominent American politicians, powerful business executives, foreign presidents, as well as the known prime minister and other world leaders. So this pedophile ring thing coming is a huge story. I don't have time to go through this whole thing right now, but it's in the Red Pill Reports show section right now. And absolutely ridiculous. And the fact that these people are not in prison right now for the rest of their natural lives, it just does not make any sense. I mean, Jeffrey Epstein should have died in prison. There's just no... I know he only got arrested for soliciting prostitution, but man, the ancillary stories regarding that guy really make you wonder if he is as creepy or more creepy than Bill Clinton, because I just don't know. That's a tie in my mind right now. Anyway, moving on. Intel agencies are warning that terrorists may hijack Air India flights, and this is a report that's saying that airports in India right now are on high alert after receiving an anonymous tip-off. This is, of course, according to the Indian intelligence agencies. They have warned the Bureau of Civil Aviation Security that terrorists may imminently target an Air India flight, and airports throughout the country are put on high alert. It's been sounded at all the major Indian airports, so good thing to keep an eye on there. Obviously, the Air Asia flight's been on the news quite a bit lately. It does turn out that a fifth large section of 8501 has now been recovered. So there's really no question about whether or not that plane did crash into the ocean or not. Indonesia has pledged to investigate other flight violations by Air Asia, and that's what they're essentially saying right now, is that weather was the primary factor, and there was actually a leaked document that came out over the weekend. It was originally sent by the Meteorology, Climatology, and Geophysics Agency. They sent it to the transportation minister there in Air Asia. I'm sorry, in Jakarta. But the Air Asia Flight Operations Officer essentially received required weather reports only after the plane lost contact with Jakarta Air Traffic Control at about 20 minutes after 6. So essentially what it's all coming down to is that there is a very specific piece of weather information that a plane like this is supposed to have before they turn off. They should have it before they turn off, before they take off. They should have it at least 10 minutes before they leave. They did not. The plane actually left at about 5:35 a.m., and the officer that would have been required to transmit that information to the plane, so we're talking about the officer still on the ground at flight control, didn't actually receive the information that he needed to warn the flight about weather conditions until about 20 minutes after 6, which is also after plane lost contact with the tower. So this particular event, the more we're looking into it, the less it seems that it was, you know, an act of terrorism or an act of some kind of, you know, foul play or things like that. There is still the reports of the gentleman dumping all of the insurance stocks a week or so before this flight went down. But again, with only one or two pieces of circumstantial evidence, it's kind of hard to say, you know, definitively that this was an inside job or something like that. Usually with those inside type jobs, there's so much evidence that it's just absolutely staggering. And this one, there just really hasn't been all that much. So, you know, of course, thoughts and prayers going out to the family members and the survivors. But it does look like weather was the mitigating factor in this whole incident. And so Indonesia is going to be ramping up some of their pre-departure regulations. They're going to be letting some of the people go who dropped the ball in this particular instance. So we'll see if Malaysia-based Air Asia becomes safer going into the future. Obviously, safety being a concern right now, especially with the Indian intelligence operators or intelligence agencies there getting indication that Al-Qaeda might be targeting their planes. Anyway, that is it for national news, or international news, I should say. We'll come back after this three-minute break. I've got a lot of national stuff going on. We've got some economic things to talk about. And, of course, Chris and Sherry Geo at the 11 o'clock hour, just one small half hour from now. Keep it right here, guys. Three-minute break.
Chris and Sherry Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
A sudden change in the wind. The day grows dark as ominous clouds move in and lightning begins to carve arcs in the sky. And you realize you are not prepared.
I am telling you, yes, cover.
The number of intense storms is increasing exponentially in the U.S. Tornadoes, hurricanes, flooding, and droughts are happening with greater magnitude and frequency. If you are choosing to rely on the government to save you,
and no one's coming to help them,
you could be dead wrong. The first step towards self-reliance in the face of disaster is a visit to My Patriot Supply. There you'll find the absolute best prices on storable foods, non-GMO seeds, emergency water filtration devices, and so much more. All orders over $49 qualify for free shipping in the lower 48. Visit us online or call 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. And speak to one of our preparedness advisors today. Remember, before it's time to survive, it's time to prepare. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule 1 drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
The Kev Baker Show.
Monday through Friday, Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that three-minute break. This is Red Pill Reports, and today is the fifth day of January. Moving into the second segment of our first hour right now, and we're going through all of the news. I want to jump over into some national news because there has been a lot of things going on over the weekend in the country, ladies and gentlemen. Oklahoma, you guys might have an issue here. Oklahoma has actually got a law on the books since about 1920, which banned the use of a hood during the commission of a crime. The law apparently was meant to provide enhanced sentencing options for KKK members committing crimes. But now, a Republican state senator, Don Barrington, has introduced new legislation that would declare a state of emergency related to the wearing of a hood, mask, or any other clothing meant to conceal your identity in public, imposing up to a $500 fine for wearing such clothing in public, with obvious exceptions for things like weather and medical conditions. So this is kind of a scary deal right now. Obviously, with everything that's going on in the country now, a lot of protesters standing up against police brutality, and the idea that a lot of people want to keep their identities concealed because they don't want their collective protesting to come back on them or their families, things like that. I was at the WTO riots back in Seattle, and even back then, the law enforcement officers were taking pictures of protesters very, very, not candidly, just right out in the open. I'm a big proponent. If you're going to get a lot of people to get there and always be peaceful, then there's no reason you shouldn't be able to hide your identity. Obviously, if you're out committing crimes like robbing banks with a motorcycle helmet on, then yeah, maybe there's a call for that. But obviously, a law on the books to provide for enhanced capability for sentencing. So I don't know. Is this a new rule basically going to be enforced just to keep you from being able to exercise your freedom of speech and freedom of assembly? Sounds like it. So if I was in Oklahoma right now, I might be thinking pretty hard about getting involved or calling. Senate Bill 13 is the name of the bill that this gentleman is trying to pass right now. And again, Republican State Senator Don Barrington is who you want to be addressing your calls and emails to. Or if you have time, go stop by his office and let him know what you think about of that. I have to say, over the weekend, I was saddened. I was sad to hear the death of Noah Poppner. Noah Poppner was one of the supposedly killed back in this 2012 school shooting back in down Connecticut. But over the apparently passed away again. And of course, this is a report coming from Prison Planet right now, where last week they had a report about a large-scale attack on school in Peshawar, Pakistan, which left 132 school children and 10 teachers dead. I'm sure you remember that story we covered in the internet news, but for some reason, and without a real explanation, Noah Posner's image has appeared in multiple photos and reports about the high-profile Army public school shooting reportedly carried out by the 9 members of an elite Taliban terror network back on the 16th of December, so just last month. But despite the fact that he died a couple of years ago, he was also somehow managed to be memorialized on a wall dedicated to the APSACS massacre victims, according to photos taken by Agence France-Presse. So, my hearts and prayers again go out to the family members of Noah Posner. You would think that dying in one school massacre would be enough, or, you know, more than any family could take. I can't imagine, losing my child in a school shooting like that, and then only to have him, you know, miraculously reborn on the other side of the planet to die in another horrific school shooting. Kind of makes you wonder about the validity of the school shooting that took place in Pakistan, does it not? Anyways, I digress, but Noah Posner, dead again. There you go. this is a story that normally I probably wouldn't have picked to talk about because it's mostly an incident that happened a while ago, and we're kind of just talking about closure right now. But a body was pulled from the Schuylkill River, and they are saying now that it is Shane Montgomery. Shane Montgomery went missing, I want to say, about 5 weeks ago, and initial reports were that he left a pub at about 2 o'clock in the morning and had been drinking, was inebriated. They have him on film. But here's the deal, ladies and gentlemen, is that they discovered his body in the water right behind the brewery. And so, again, 5 weeks, they discovered this guy in the water. And the immediate thought that I have when I see this story or a story like this is that of the smiley face killer. And I made a comment on the article, and a couple other people commented and said that that was the very first thing that they thought of. And the reason that I thought that, first of all, is that this seems to be happening. There's this smiley face killer, I think, is a real thing. I think if you there's a great website, Footsteps by the Water is what I believe it's called. It might be Footprints by the Water, but it's a blog about it's a woman who is basically compiling all of these stories of these young men who go missing in college towns. They're almost always white guys, you know, early college, and they're always drinking, and they always end up drowned in a river. And one of the things that threw me about this particular case when I was reading the details on it was that his keys to his car were found in the water near the shore as someone had chucked them in. So, you know, again, closure for the family obviously is a good thing. But when I read these stories about these young white guys drowning in really suspect circumstances, drinking, you know, I don't know any guy that in the middle of winter, I don't care how drunk you are, you're not going to go swimming in the river. You're not even go down by there. Why would you even go down? It doesn't make any sense. So I think that there's some more investigation that needs to happen here, and I would be interested in anybody's opinion out there in regards to that. I think the smiley face serial killer is potentially a real thing, and that this young man might be a victim of that, and nobody seems to want to talk about it. So I'm just kind of bringing that up also. Talk about New York right now. Well, obviously, we've talked about the slowdown in New York in terms of the police officers not going out to make arrests. You know, we've seen victimless crime down like 94%. And there's a great article from the Daily Sheet right now, and he's this idea that perhaps is a silver lining to this slowdown in New York. Obviously, if it was a response to the Eric Garner retaliation shooting of the NYPD officers, the effect has not been very bad. I mean, obviously, the sky has not fallen. There are occasions now, you know, we're talking about what Mayor Bloomberg once described as the world's seventh largest army. There's 30,500 uniformed police officers in New York City, and they've essentially stopped harassing people for a while. So this is kind of a good thing in my mind. If you know, again, if you look at the numbers, this means that last week alone, 27,790 people were not harassed, kidnapped, or extorted, or arrested and fined, had their lives ruined for no reason. So none of that happened last week, and I think there's a pretty good indicator now that, you know, people are going to look at this and say, wow, maybe we really don't need these people out harassing people and trying to keep everybody doing, you know, everything that they're supposed to be doing all the time, because it's not a good deal. You know, think about it. Acapulco. Acapulco, Mexico is a great example. There's a the municipal and transit police went on strike last year, and it actually improved the city. It improved the city so much to this day that there are still no municipal or transit police because people did not want them back. They actually demanded that these people, the municipal and transit police, stayed away. So here's an example. Let's think about this logically. Let's say you've got a big town there where thousands of people manage to walk through all day without colliding into each other on a regular basis. If you were to take that town square and start putting up all sorts of rules about where people could walk, the limits on how fast slow they could walk, and signs and stoplights, it would reduce that square to a mess of people who are all walking unnaturally. The traffic flow would come to a halt and nearly everyone would be angry and irritated. Then, if you add to it, people with guns walking around accosting people who don't follow every rule perfectly, you have what we have here in America, which is a horrific mess. So I'm thinking now that New York potentially is going to, I mean, we're at the cusp right now of these people realizing that they really don't need 90% of the laws that are going on in their state. And you could get back to cutting all of those people back to where they're only, you know, going out to investigate real serious crimes with actual victims, about 10% of what they actually do now. And wouldn't that be a better world? I think it might be. I'm going to run all this by Commander Dale Brown on Wednesday. So we'll have another insight into that. I want to follow up a little on that police chief story. We talked about the police chief. I want to say it was in South Carolina. Of course, you guys know who I'm talking about. Police Chief William McCollum shot his wife twice on New Year's Day, accidentally. Yeah. Okay, so more information coming out about him. Turns out that the woman, William McCollum's wife, actually divorced him about 15 years ago, and McCollum has told investigators that it was not him that fired his Glock service pistol. It was his Glock service pistol automatically shot his wife, Margaret, twice. And this is really the word verbatim that he's using. He says his Glock service pistol automatically shot his wife, Margaret, twice. Only one of the shots actually hit his wife, but there's also a little bit of indication that ran off with a another woman and had been cheating on her and blah, blah, blah. So the sordid tale gets a little more sordid as we start looking in the details. But good news is that probably not going to be pressing any charges against Chief McCollum. It's difficult to hold a chief of police accountable for understanding how to use their firearms, because most people know, you know, you don't actually have to be a law enforcement officer to become a chief of police. A lot of times they'll just tap somebody on the shoulder out in the street and give you a weapon, and there's really no training involved or anything like that. So no real reason that this guy should have known how to use his service lock or or, you know, have to try and explain exactly how his Glock went off automatically and shot his wife twice. Unbelievable. That, and, you know, no charges. Still on paid vacation there. So that's great. Great, great stuff here. Lawsuit in New York. Gun confiscation has officially started in New York, ladies and gentlemen. And we're talking about the SAFE Act. Obviously, SAFE Act following from the Sandy Hook shooting, so you can see how all of this stuff is connected. But a veteran of the U.S. Navy and a decorated retired police detective is now suing the New York government's Andrew Cuomo and other state officials for infringing on his constitutional rights after his pistol permit and four handguns were confiscated after he voluntarily sought hospital treatment for insomnia. So he filed this lawsuit. His name's Donald Montgomery. Filed this lawsuit in the Western District of New York up in Rochester on the December. He is essentially saying that his constitutional rights were violated by the New York SAFE Act, which Cuomo signed into law back in January of 2013. And so essentially what happened is this gentleman, who's, again, decorated vet, was a detective sergeant, so not a guy who's unfamiliar with how to use firearms. He changed cities. He moved cities with his wife to be closer to his adult children, and it was going through a lot of stress. So he went to a hospital and said, you know, I'm having trouble sleeping. Can you give me anything? They said, sure, take this. Come back in a month if you're still having the same problem. He was still having the same problem in a month, so he came back. And again, I said, I'm really having trouble sleeping. And then, so they admitted him for, but it was a supposed admission. And so they go on. The case sorted, but essentially the nurse, when he came, said that the patient, this is a quote from the case, said the patient has no thoughts of hurting himself, patient has no thoughts of hurting anybody else, he does not have suicidal thoughts, he's not having homicidal thoughts. They basically assessed him as being mildly depressed, but otherwise determined there's no evidence of any psychotic processes, mania, or OCD symptoms. Insight, judgment, and impulse control are all good. So essentially what happened was he went there, he's fine, but the hospital goofed up, and they basically put him into a category that said that he had been involuntarily committed, and that set off an entire chain of events that culminated with the Suffolk County Sheriff's Department coming to his house and confiscating four of his weapons, two of which he had gotten from the police departments as honors for various he had accomplished, and a couple the other two were weapons that he had purchased years ago. But essentially, they took his weapons and they told him that he's not allowed to own a weapon because he had been involuntarily committed, and because there is no quick recourse to get himself off of that list or to get his weapons back, he is suing the state of New York. So that is what's going on there. Let's move over into some economic news here right now. Dow way down right now, 17,600, down over 1% today. We've seen a drop right now of about 231 points. I know the oil prices, wow, way down right now, $50.51 for a barrel of crude. That is a 4% drop just today. Gasoline doing the same thing, down nearly 4%, as well as crude Brent being $53.46. So the slide of oil continuing, probably not going to be a good sign for the shale industry here in the United States. Mentioned that we're going to have Kenneth Shortgen Jr. of the Daily Economist on Thursday, and Andrew Gauss will be back on. We'll have some pretty strong economic discussions later in this week. So if you're wondering about how the slide of oil is going to affect your your hedge funds, that conversation you do not want to miss. So it's going to be a big week. It's going to be a big year here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, Red Reports is just poised on the launching pad right now, and I cannot thank all of you guys enough who are getting involved early, because this is we're like the ground floor of a pyramid thing right now. This is going to be huge stuff. Anyway, gold 1196, so not a lot of change. A lot of change in terms of the day, but in terms of being pretty flat around 1200, it's been there pretty steady for about the last month. Silver is staying pretty steady as well, 1607 on silver. And I want to jump over and give you current Bitcoin price, like 274 Bitcoin, dropping about another $50 over the weekend. Not really sure why that might be. There was some economic news coming out, that big exchange that essentially had a big breach and they lost a whole bunch of Bitcoins. Well, there's been an investigation going on that breach, and it turns out that the investigators are about 99% sure that was a complete inside job, and that as few as about 300 Bitcoins actually got stolen by an outside person. So that's pretty interesting in terms of Bitcoin news. Still a lot of people wondering and wishing that they would be able to get their Bitcoins back and have not been yet able to do so. So that's what's new in the Bitcoin debacle. China snapping up another bunch of gold, and this is, of course, not the government. We're talking again about consumers like we did last time, but the China purchased another 57 tons of gold bullion through Shanghai just for the week ending December 26. So that makes almost 2,100 tons for the year ending in 2014. Obviously, there's a few more days after December 26. So again, if you're not into gold right now, man, I don't know what you are waiting for. Dollar is strong. Gold prices are reasonable. You can get into gold relatively easily right now through a lot of different vendors. Again, we're huge supporters of Carat Bars here, so if that's not something you're familiar with, and I would make yourself familiar with that as soon as you possibly can. Spain has got a problem too, with a lot of small businesses being wiped out after New Year's Day. Essentially right now there will be the end of an era, which occurred on the first day of January this year. They abolished rent controls that help small businesses and preserve the historical identity of city centers by insulating them from property market pressures. But the date stipulated in a law passed 20 years ago that limited annual rate hikes to the same percentage value as official inflation rates. But now, as of the first of the year, all of that goes away. So about 200,000 mostly family-owned stores, bars, and restaurants are going to be affected by the law change that allows their landlords to raise rents to pretty much whatever they want. And an estimated 55,000 businesses are expected to close down over the coming weeks and months, wiping out an additional 120,000 jobs in a country that already has a 24% unemployment rate, according to labor groups there. So the laws looking to change. And, of course, this is going to probably run a lot of mom-and-pops out of town, but you'll see a lot of international chain franchises that can afford what will undoubtedly become prime real estate now to snap up all of that. So we'll probably see some major cultural identity in city centers in Spain going away as we see the Starbucks and the McDonald's and things like that. Moving on in, let's see here. What else could we talk about? Oh, we probably ought to talk about the fact that Germany is now actively outlining a plan to allow Greece to exit the Eurozone. That is a pretty big story. Of course, just 3 weeks until the Greek snap elections, which are going to be again on the 25th of January, in which the Syriza is virtually assured a victory right now, of course, unless GPAP's new and improved political party manages to steal enough votes to prevent this. Although you would have to wonder at this point what his political campaign might be, something along the lines of vote for us because this time we know how to avoid a sovereign bankruptcy. Spoiler alert, they still don't know. Germany takes yet another opportunity that will be blackmailed. Of course, another spoiler alert, it will be blackmailed into another year of funding the insolvent Greek state, which in turn will pretend to engage in another year of quote-unquote reforms. Third and final spoiler alert, it won't probably engage in reforms. So just try and remember that it was on New Year's Eve when Merkel's chief advisor, Michael Fuchs, explicitly used the term blackmail, which is a word you don't really want to use when you're talking about, Troika, bailing out a country and austerity measures is really not the word blackmail, not one of the ones you want to use. But this, again, Michael Fuchs saying there were times when we had to rescue Greece, but those times are now over, so there's no potential for political blackmail anymore. So Greece no longer under Greece is no longer essentially of systemic importance for the euro. So again, Germany talking pretty descriptively about removing Greece from the eurozone, and they're basically saying that that probably is going to happen at this point. What is that going to do for the euro bond debt bubble? Who knows? Again, we'll have some pretty serious economic discussions later on in the week, so lots of good reasons to stay tuned all week. I want to move on to some tech news right now. There's a really neat little thing that's going to be hitting Kickstarter later this week, but it's a little program or a little device that I can get behind. It's called Project Riptide. It's pretty cool, and it's an accessory system that can be carried by drone. And essentially what it is, it's a sea-launched drone that carries with it an inflatable ring and a GoPro camera, so it could actually go out, find somebody who is out in sea, maybe falling off of a ship, and actually deploy to them an inflatable ring and then transmit GPS location back to the ship that's out looking for them. So very cool. They're going through prototype versions right now. It was actually designed by a private school in Connecticut. And again, Project Riptide will be on Kickstarter later in the year to raise funds. But I think that's pretty neat. That's a cool use of technology, and I really support that. Here's another one that I love. I think this is absolutely outstanding. There's a new wind power generator that's come out, and it's called a wind tree. And this thing looks very cool. There's a lot of arguments against harnessing wind power because of environmental concerns about damage to ecosystems and birds and things like that, and the fact that they're super ginormous. But this actually looks organically like a tree, about 3 meters tall, and it has got what looked like cobs of corn, I guess would be the best way to describe them, or maybe a tall cylindrical leaf type cob of corn. And it's they've got about 50 of them spread out across branches. Again, it looks very organic, and they are alternating colors, yellow and green. But the idea is that this whole thing can work in very little wind, very, very little wind. So it actually is able to generate power all the time. And even though these little tiny wind turbines are small by traditional standards, if you had three or four of these on your property, again, they would be able to produce electricity all the time, even in the lightest wind, and they don't look awful. I mean, they kind of look like a neat art project. So I like seeing stuff like that. Again, if you go to the show section on redpillreports.com, you'll be able to see what I'm talking about, and there's a little corresponding video that goes along with these as well. But I think that's pretty cool stuff right there. The FCC has come out and said they will officially announce or vote. They will officially vote for new rules and restrictions on net neutrality in February. They said this just on Friday in a Washington Post report. Tom Wheeler, of course, the FCC chairman, planning to circulate a draft proposal to fellow commissioners with an eye towards approving the measure weeks later. So obviously the heart of the debate right now is the equality of the internet. Supporters of net neutrality are calling for strict rules that would prevent cable giants like Comcast and Verizon from using so-called fast lanes to speed up or slow down websites and to obviously charge content providers higher rates for the privilege of faster loading times. Because obviously when they do that, that will limit the ability for small startup businesses to compete at the same level of the people who are already, you know, multi-bajillionaire businesses like Netflix, Verizon, Comcast, those kinds of companies. So opponents are pushing right now for looser regulations that they say they would prevent the overuse of bandwidth and support investment in better networks, blah, blah, blah. But essentially, Wheeler's proposals are not published right now, and the Post reports that momentum has been building recently for far more aggressive regulations than Wheeler had initially proposed. So, again, we're going to have to keep an eye on what is going on with the FCC and what their plans are with the internet going forward. I'm hoping that that they do not take Barack Obama's suggestion. His obvious suggestion was that he wants the FCC to govern internet service providers using Title II of the Communications Act, which would reclassify the internet as a public utility. I don't think that's a very good idea. I don't think that ownership of the internet is not a good thing. I think we need to keep that as decentralized as we possibly can. But anyway, that's what's going on with the FCC. I'd like to keep you guys up to date on all of the internet stuff that is going on. We are rapidly approaching our break here. I want to give you a quick heads up. New York City is planning to force mandatory flu shots on preschoolers in the next year. So in the next year, city will start to charge fines to schools whose students do not follow the rule. Not a good thing. So if you are in New York, they are planning on trying to change the law, applying it to some 150,000 children in the city licensed daycare centers. Not a good thing, but you can still opt out for medical and religious reasons, so do remain focused on that. Lots of other good health news, lots of good tech news, couldn't get to it all, but keep it here, guys. 3-minute break, and we come right back. Chris and Sherry Geo will be joining us. Times.
At Truth Frequency Radio, we bring you the very best personalities in the independent media without the corporate influence and with limited commercial interruption. Over the past year, Truth Frequency Radio has become one of the fastest-growing media outlets in the world, and we owe it all to you. That's why, with every donation of $30 or more, we'll send you your very own Survive Drive as a way of saying thanks for your continued support. The Survive Drive is jam-packed with nearly 600 ebooks to help you survive everything from everyday life to major disasters. Donate today and we'll continue to wage war against the powers that shouldn't be. Again, thanks for your support and for making Truth Frequency Radio your choice for news without the hate, hype, and fear.
Archaeology, astronomy, alchemy, secrets of the Holy Bible, hidden codes of the Quran, demonology, Tesla technology, solar power, extraterrestrials in the ancient world. More than 500 documentaries, an experimental film lab of cutting-edge music and art, full-length movies, conference reports, and weekly TV shows. The Enigma Channel is the world's first truly global TV station. www.enigmatv.com. Intelligent television for planet Earth.
Nutritious food is real body armor. It builds muscle, burns fat, improves digestion, and feeds the entire body the nutrients it needs. Did you know the U.S. government banned the hemp plant from growing in the United States and classified it as a Schedule I drug to hide it behind the marijuana plant? People have been confused about this plant for over 80 years, and many still don't know what hemp is. So now you know hemp is not marijuana, and marijuana is not hemp. They are different varieties of the same species. HempUSA.org wants the world to know these basic facts and to help people understand that hemp protein powder is the best-kept health secret you need to know about. Remember, hemp protein powder contains 53% protein, is gluten-free, anti-inflammatory, non-GMO, and is loaded with nutrients. Call 888-910-4367, 888-910-4367, and see what our powder, seeds, and oil can do for you. Only at HempUSA.org.
This is the Truth Frequency Radio Network. We are TFR.
Truth Frequency Radio.
Welcome back to the broadcast, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you guys very much for sticking with us through that three-minute break. We're moving into the second hour of our broadcast. Of course, we are live right now, and it is the fifth day of January. I'm very excited, once again, to be joined by Chris and Cherie Geo. Of course, they are veteran broadcasters. They have their own syndicated show over on GCN, and they are obviously also the program directors here at Truth Frequency Radio. Gave us a wild stab in the dark at letting us have our own show, so for that, we really, really thank them. But they also both grew up in Texas. They founded Truth Frequency as a weekly radio show, and it has since grown into a full-time network featuring, obviously, an incredible team of first-class hosts. I hope that eventually my skill will rise to where I can be included in that list as well. But these two are just a wealth of information. Some of the things that they study, as hobbies are just so diverse. I mean, we're talking about things from current geopolitics, the eugenics program, economics, alternative history, the occult, ancient texts, ancient artifacts, things like that. And so by using that type of insight and that type of historical awareness, they're able to then talk about mainstream current events with more insight than most people that you would normally be able to talk to. So again, kind of what we try and do here on Red Pill Reports is bring these people on that have very unique insights, and Chris and Cherie Geo no stranger to that at all. So again, Chris, Cherie, thank you guys so much for joining us on the Red Pill Reports radio broadcast today.
Oh, thank you for having us. And you are on that list, Jim.
Thanks.
Never fail to continue to surprise.
Oh, you guys are too nice. You're too nice. I have to warn you, I'm very susceptible to flattery, Chris, so just be careful.
Well, we'll keep it up.
Good to know.
But anyway, I want to wish you guys a happy New Year. It's the first time I've gotten to speak to both of you really at length, so happy 2015. What are your New Year's resolutions, guys? Do you have any? Do you follow suit with those goofy, I need to change myself and become a better person and it's the right time to do it kind of motifs, or what do you think?
You know, we are just tapped into the Truth Frequency, and we're on autopilot right now, navigating the ship. We're letting the universe just navigate every aspect of our life, and I believe as long as you do that, then everything back 2015 is gearing up to be one of the best years for TFR, for us personally. All kinds of doors are opening, so really can't inject any of my own feelings or thoughts into it. Otherwise, I'm going to take it off course.
I understand. Well, I appreciate you guys taking the time out, because I know with the holidays and everything that was going on, and you guys have been working so hard on the network. You guys just did a really big restructuring of the schedule, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
which is amazing for a station like ours. We're really competing with some of the big boys out there, and the goal is to start competing with Premier and some of those other very large networks, because we have the mainstream media, and we understand that the mainstream media is censored and their message is very boxed in and closed. However, we need to get out in front of the people that actually need to hear this message. Like I was saying on the show a couple days ago, I love the choir. I mean, they're the core base of everything. But we need to get our message out to an even bigger audience and to the people that actually need to hear it. And the only way to do mainstream media and actually start becoming the new mainstream media, but without being mainstream and without being boxed in.
Right. I think we're actually starting to accomplish that, too, because the more people that I speak with, I'm constantly astounded by the level of understanding that people are. Maybe it's my shortcoming in that I kind of think that some people are already pigeonholed into believing a certain thing, and then when they come to me and they say, "Hey, I was reading this, and this kind of brought me into this, and then now I'm thinking along this whole new paradigm," it's so exciting to see, and it does. It seems to be happening to regular people. It doesn't seem to be people like myself who was, you know, an Alex Jones addict 10 years ago. It seems now like I can talk to my dad and he'll point out things to me that maybe I haven't even, you know, thought of. And some of the other people in my social circle that are very conservative and are, you know, a little bit older, that are coming to me now and saying, "Hey, have you ever thought about, you know, spirituality as an as a function of frequency?" And I'll just about fall off my chair because it's just like, who are you? How in the world are you guys coming to these conclusions, you know, independently? Where are you getting this kind of great spiritual insight? And I feel like there is a spiritual movement that is taking place, and it seems to be affecting more and more people. So if Truth Frequency is part of that, man, I gotta tell you, I'm excited to be a part of it, because it seems to be unveiling all the time and exponentially increasing around us.
It is the 100th monkey phenomenon at work right now. We've been talking about and igniting so many fires within people that now it's starting to spread on its own without us even having to do anything. So as long as we keep on doing what we're doing, those fires are going to continue to spread by themselves.
I completely agree. Chris, I'm going to let you go for like 1 second and then try and reconnect, because your connection, you kind of get fuzzed in and out. So just bear with me here, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to let him go, and then I'm going to just reconnect real quick, because I don't want to miss anything that Chris has to say, or Cherie, because both of these people are just freaking phenomenal guys. So let's get them back on the line here. Let's see here. Call that man. Beauty Alive Radio, ladies and gentlemen. But again, I want to make sure that your connection is good, and that you guys can hear everything that Chris has to say. Can you hear me, Chris?
Yeah, is that better?
It does seem to be a little bit better, yeah. Hey, you just mentioned that 100th monkey theory, or I guess it's not really a theory anymore because it seems to be pretty proved. But for people out there that aren't familiar with that, could you extrapolate on that for just a second?
Yeah, they basically did a study on a group of monkeys, and they realized that as one monkey started to learn something, then the other one would start to pick up on it, and then the knowledge that they were achieving was spreading to monkeys that were never seen what the other monkeys were doing. And so it's just a phenomenon where a certain species will start to acquire a certain type of knowledge, and then or through the frequencies.
It's just amazing, because even it kind of stands to reason then that monkeys would share in that same collective consciousness sort of theory that a lot of us believe humans are part of, you know?
It is all consciousness. It's all energy. And when you start to see from that energetic field, which a lot of us are starting to open up our third eye in order to do that, then you realize that the reality that we see in front of us is information that exists, very similar to a computer website. Let's take a website, for example. You have the database in the background that has all of the information, and then you have the web page, which has a small fraction of the information. So what we're able to do now as a business is start to access that database to see more than what just this reality is projecting in front of us.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that's a change in the hardware itself? Because I'm one of the people that believe, and this might sound crazy to listeners out there, but I believe that your consciousness is a frequency, and that's a very tunable frequency, and that your brain works like a radio, and that, you know, you're only able to gather the certain little sliver of frequency that's you, but that some people out there might be equipped with hardware that allows a wider spectrum of information to be brought in, which to me would be an obvious indication of people who had telepathy or people who could talk to the dead or, you know, whatever those instances are. But I wonder if you guys feel the same way about that.
Well, it's amazing to me how animals, even though they have less equipment inside of their brains than we do, they're actually much better at seeing these frequencies and learning, you know, what people's spirituality is like just by looking at them. Did you know that cats, when they see you, they don't see you. They see your energy first. And then they decide based on your energy if you're a threat or if you're something that they want to come up and rub against. Why they get kind of startled at first whenever they see you, because they're not sure what you are. And your energy, if your energy is bad, then they're going to be scared of you and they're going to run away from you. And so go in, then they're much more likely to respond to you. Other animals are doing the same thing, I've noticed. We've got animals that aren't supposed to completely loving each other and taking each other in as their babies whenever their mother dies. I mean,
there was a crow that we recently saw who had taken in a baby kitten and had raised this baby kitten and would not leave its sight. And the people were catching it on video, feeding the baby, bringing it food, and just taking on the mother role of the baby and realizing that this is a baby. There was a jaguar that was hunting and wound up killing a monkey for food, and then realized that the monkey had a baby with her, the baby monkey, from the hyenas that were trying to eat the baby monkey.
Wow.
So there's something sparking within every life form here on planet Earth. And it's beautiful. This is what we're here for. We're here to help planet Earth go through this shift and help those that can't really quite see to see. But it's a difficult task, because I believe that at birth, we're able to see many, many, many more frequencies. Now, as a matter of fact, in Norway, there is a village that they all believe that they see elves, fairies, and all kinds of interdimensional beings. And these are adults. These are 40-year-olds. These are 50-year-olds. Even the politicians over there believe that they see. And they did a documentary on it, and there was this big rock where they wanted to move so they can put a road there. And the supposed rock was a big fairy community. And they had one of the ambassadors, who was like a 45-year-old woman, go to the fairy rock because, well, the equipment kept breaking. And so she went to the rock and she spoke with the fairies and she said, hey, they just want to move the rock over a little bit so they can make a road. And they agreed if they do it gently and don't disturb too much, then they'll do it. As soon as construction equipment started working again, and everything was able to move forward. Now, you take that for what it's worth, but they believe that they don't deprogram the things. And so we, as Westerners, a lot of people have imaginary friends or can see in other dimensions when they're kids. We teach them that that's not real. Those are imaginary friends. They shouldn't be seeing things like that. So we grow up and hit the age of around 7, 8, 9 years old, where all that starts to leave us just simply because we're not utilizing those abilities anymore. Now, if you believe that we come into this world and we can see in this much broader perspective, then what we're doing now is we're remembering what we've already known.
Wow. And that's crazy. I don't know if you guys have heard the story, but there was a girl who, I want to say this happened in France. She was on a vacation with her family in France, young girl, like 4 years old, right? And they were taking her to, it was in D.C. It happened here in America. It was at D.C. It was a National History Museum. And this family went there and they saw like a yoke and bridle, like what you would use to plow with oxen, right? You know, the whole get up, and they had it on a fake oxen and everything. And this little girl who was 4 said, oh, I remember having one of these back when I was a boy. And her parents were like, what? Huh? Say who? What? And this little girl, having never seen any of this stuff before, took them through every piece of process on how you would yoke up an oxen and how you would, you know, how you would make this whole thing function, and explained it down to every single detail to her parents, and they were completely just like floored. You know, what do you do when your daughter says, "Oh, I remember when I was a boy and we used to plow fields with oxen, and I can show you how all this stuff works"? I mean, so many instances that we see of children remembering things from past lives. I totally agree with you.
That's just one story. There's so many out there, as you mentioned. There's another one where a little boy came back and said that he was a fighter pilot in World War II, and he knew exactly where his plane went down, who his crew members were, and he pointed them all out by name, and they showed him a picture of this crew member after of this whole battalion or whatever the Air Force groups are called. And then they all met, and he says, "Hey, I know you. You have a sister that has a painting of you, and I know you." And it's this little 5-year-old kid talking to these 80-year-old men.
Right. Wow.
So there's something to this.
Oh.
To this. And it's a wonderful time to live, because we're finally opening our minds to what has always been around us, but we've just been closing it off. But I think they knew that we were going to experience this consciousness shift. And as the consciousness raises, we realize that we don't need all of these systems of control like government that are around us.
Right.
And so the powers that be want to maintain that control. So they use fluoride, MSG, chemtrails, vaccines, everything to bombard it and keep you disconnected from having that ability, so you continue to see mommy and daddy as a family situation, and we fall victim to this slavery, to this feeling that we need to be controlled, that we need to have police in the street. I mean, just look at the police, for instance. They're responsible for more violence than criminals are in this day and age. It's getting ridiculous, and it's getting to the shooting these police officers at random. We're in the middle of a civil war right now, mm-hmm. because of the way that they've pushed down that boot so hard. They pushed it just a little, with a little too much pressure, and boom, now society has cracked. I'm not condoning what's going on, but it doesn't surprise me what's going on, because where else did they expect this to go?
Well, I can't agree with you more. I mean, to me, it's like, if you create we created both of these groups. I've talked about it on different programs before, but we created the thug mentality kid, and we created the killer cop by hiring, you know, law enforcement officers with low IQs and then dressing them up like military personnel, and then telling them that their job was to protect the state, which is not a real entity. I mean, we get into this whole convoluted thing. I think that's what we're learning in New York right now. You know, we're seeing this situation in New York where there's essentially a work stoppage. You know, 94% of victimless crimes are not being enforced in New York right now. I bet what we're going to end up seeing is that people prefer it that way. And
that's,
I think,
right. That's the way it should be.
Yeah.
Well, we've got these articles of control that have been put in since the time of the Inquisition, where first it was a religious control, now it's a mental health kind of control, and you see them trying to push this in and push this in and push this in, to the point where anybody for having any kind of normal behavior is mentally ill.
Yeah.
They're going to try to do. They're going to try to push you into this box of mentally ill, when all you're doing is speaking to your ancestors or using medicinal plants or et cetera, et cetera.
You know, last year, J.D., with the government shutdown, and I think they were talking about another one this year, everybody was freaking out, saying, "Oh my God, the government's going to shut down. What are we going to do?" The
right.
day the government shut down, I stepped outside. The sky was beautiful blue.
Yeah.
Cherie and I went to the park. We enjoyed ourselves. Business was still going on as normal. We went to a restaurant and had something to eat. You know, it just goes to show. And it got so ridiculous that they were going around and removing the handles from the water faucets, and they were putting military up on national parks just to try to reinforce that you need government. Otherwise, you're not going to have these national parks, or you're not going to have any drinking water when you're jogging. That's how ridiculous it is. The sky didn't fall. The society didn't crumble. It just goes to show we really don't need the federal government, or any state government for that matter. I think communities are perfectly capable of taking care of themselves.
I mean, the issue, though, is that you and I and Cherie don't need government, okay? But the question on the table is whether or not the population has been manipulated to a point that a majority of them do. You know what I mean? I was talking to Stan Deo on Friday, and, you know, I've got a couple of issues with prophecy. One of the main issues I have with prophecy is that understand that intention can affect matter. We understand it both in cymatics. We've seen Emoto's work with the water. We know that, you know, Hebrew is one of the only languages that when it's spoken properly will directly affect cymatics. That's so that we know that there is, there's intention in action and intention in words. So if you took a book like the Bible and you filled it full of inflammatory images and things like that and then made it the most popular book on the planet for 2,000 years, would putting that into the collective consciousness of people provide enough, you know, gumption for that intentionality to exist? I'm just going to leave that question on the table because I feel like it's a valid one. If you have two-thirds of the world's population all believing something is going to happen, could an argument be made that 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 things are going to happen? But at the same time,
it's very dangerous, Jade.
What's that?
Of the world waiting for the end of the world right now. You have the Muslims waiting for the return of Muhammad, and there's been some videos floating around supposedly of a horse flying around, which are totally fake. And then you have the Christians and the Jews and all of them waiting for the end of the world. And as our collective consciousness does manifest things, and if we expect the create the end of the world just by our mass consciousness, and they understand this, they understand that our collective consciousness changes events, and that's why we have predictive programming and movies and whatnot. Right. I believe that the energetic forces behind it help manifest this. But not only that, let me take it a step further and say that you're absolutely right. Some people do need to be governed. However, if we don't start spreading the message of autonomous living right now, we're not going to see a trickle-down generations. And I don't expect these changes to come right now in my generation, the future generations, and that's why we have to spread these messages. And I didn't mean to interrupt you. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's okay. I mean, those are all points that needed to be made. My main question is that, A, that if we can show that there's potential that the prophetic images and things like that were put there to guide collective consciousness in order to guide intentionality to make those things happen, it wouldn't be a far stretch to me to look at the opposite side of that agenda, where especially here in the United States, they have really created and cultivated a society or a system that it could be very easily argued that it would be nice to be saved from. You know what I mean? Like, we see them saying, we're going to have a global savior and we're planning that for 2 years. And at the same time, in that 2,000 years, we're going to really screw up the world to a point where half of you guys are dependent on government and half of everybody needs, you know, handouts just to survive. Nobody knows how to grow food. We really do need saving right now. You know what I mean?
Well, I think most of the problems that we have in this world is, number one, artificial scarcity. Number two, a lack of accountability. And if we address these two problems, then we can see society change. Why isn't society set up in a way to where somebody who is hungry can go and get something to eat? Why is it not set up in a way to where they can be warm? Why do we have people dying in sub-zero temperatures here in Denver, for instance, the day after all the homeless shelters decide to kick everybody out on the street? Mm-hmm. And they're even rounding up people, homeless people, and putting them into FEMA camps here in Colorado. This is proven. At first, I didn't believe it, but after some research, this is actually happening. So it's the system, again, that we keep talking about, the problem that we're facing. And so we have to address this system, which is a system waste, and it's a system designed like a musical chairs type situation where people will be left out because that's the way the system is created. But if we look at Gaddafi in Libya, for instance, he gave his people everything. He gave house, electricity. Most of the people were upper middle class. I think we discussed this on a previous show, so I don't want to be redundant. But it just goes to show there are systems out there that can actually work. But we've been conditioned to believe that we have to work from cradle to grave, that we're not supposed to take care of our children. We're supposed to kick them out at the age of 18. The secret of the elite is that they take care of their friends and their families.
We're like
they
the make only sure- country that does that. I mean, seriously, I'm Italian, Sicilian. You go back to my old country, everybody in the family lives together. Grandmothers, uncles, unless you get married, you're home until you're 40 because you're there to help provide for the family. That's the whole concept of the family. We're like the only country that does that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but man, that really bums me out.
Spot on. Yeah. My cousin in Greece is a record producer, and he produces of the biggest artists in Greece. So he's not a bum sitting around doing nothing. This guy makes very, very, very good money. And he was living at home when I went to go visit him. And he was living in a small little bedroom with his, you know, in the house that his mother lived in. Uh-huh. And I asked him, why are you living in this little bitty small bedroom? You've got all the money in the world. He goes, because I want to be around mom. I want to take uh-huh. care of mom. Who's going to take care of mom if I don't? Uh-huh. That's the way that it is. And that's the way that it is over there. And that's the way that it should be. But see, what happens is these elite families, they pass on, you know, from generation to generation. And so their families start to grow mm-hmm. where we believe that we need to kick our kids out at 18 and that's it. We cut them off, end of story, and then they have to start on their own. And so you never see anybody actually moving up in society because there's no consolidation of wealth within particular families that are not part of the group.
Yeah, well, it goes back to that artificial scarcity and artificial competition thing where we're out looking for artificial profit, which is, again, another construct of the minds of men. It doesn't actually exist. So when, in America, when you kick somebody out of your home, now they're the competition. You know, it astounds me when I talk to people who have large families and they're like, oh, you know, we do pretty well, but, you know, my husband's brother, they're not doing very well and they don't have any money and blah, blah, blah. And it's just like, how could you possibly just leave them out in that condition? It doesn't make any sense to me that you wouldn't want to make a family.
Well, in our society, we have it set up to where all the parents are afraid of becoming helicopter parents, and they have all these articles in the news saying, don't become a helicopter parent. Oh, you better kick your kid out whenever they turn 18. You know, when they're out of high school, they better get out of your house or you're going to be a helicopter parent. And then on top of that, we have this religious thing that says that if your brother and sister are not doing well, then that means that God doesn't want them to do well.
Right.
And if they're smoking or if they're drinking, or if they're doing anything that you don't like, then that gives you the right to leave them out in the cold because they're not following God's will.
Well, think about the second prong to this as well. When you're 18 years old, you get kicked out on the street, and then you start getting all these credit card offers in the mail.
Mm-hmm.
And so you have no other way to survive except for credits. And then so you start to accumulate a little bit of credit, and it's only a few $1,000s. It's not mm-hmm. much. My first credit card was $1,500 limit.
Mm-hmm.
And then you become a debt slave. And then you go to school to try to pay off the debt that you've accumulated, and you try to pay off your school loans, and the cycle just repeats itself over and over and over again. It never gets broken.
Yeah, and I think student loan debt last month hit $1 trillion. And that's, again, you know, that's like the one debt you can never get away from, allegedly. You can't bankrupt your way out of it. You really can't do anything. So a lot of people are thinking that's going to be the next large bubble to go, is because there was a great piece in Activist Post last week essentially saying, you know, the colleges, of course, are going to take all the money from the federal government, because why wouldn't you? But eventually, they're not going to be able to, the government's not going to secure those loans anymore, which means you're going to be set in this situation where the tuitions are stupid expensive. You got to pay $300 for a textbook, and there's not going to be any students there, and none of these students are getting any jobs to pay for their debt, which means all these American colleges are going to end up going out of business. It's a pretty slippery slope that we're on right now, in my opinion. But I wanted to backtrack to that, because it's not only that we don't kick the kids, or that we kick the kids out and expect them to then go out and compete with very little, you know, training, especially if they're coming out of a public education, but then we saddle them with this alternative religious viewpoint, in that it's the American religion. You have to go to college. If you don't go to college, you'll never get a good job and no one will ever marry you. And, you know, it's all the horror stories that you hear. Oh, and by the way, you're going to probably go $40,000 to $80,000 in debt to make that happen. Good luck with the rest of your life. It's just horrible what we're doing to these kids.
Think about this, JD. In prison, you get a roof over your head, you get food on the table, you get your education paid for, everything is free in prison. Why can't we do that for our children?
This makes too much sense to me. We got to take a quick 3-minute break. Our guests today are Chris and Cherie Geo. We're going to take this break. We'll be right back, guys. Keep it right here.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
Chris and Cherie Geo here, founders of Truth Frequency Radio. We just wanted to take a moment to thank all of you for making TFR the biggest and the best independent radio station out there.
When we first entered the alternative media scene in 2009, we were really taken aback by the amount of infighting, backbiting, fear-based reporting, and ego-driven personalities. That's when we knew we had to set ourselves apart and set a new standard in broadcasting. And thus, TFR was conceived as a listener-supported station with no corporate or outside influence and limited commercial interruptions.
You can support our efforts by signing up for a VIP membership at truthfrequencyradio.com/signup or by making a donation at truthfrequencyradio.com/donate.
For less than $4 a month, you can ensure that TFR continues broadcasting for years to come. Real people, real radio.
Wherever you are, make it TFR.
American gardeners and fellow patriots, make the right choice with your money, time, and your family food supply. Choose 100% pure heirloom seeds in the Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com. Why spend more? The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com is only $37.95 and includes 20 varieties of pure, hardy, easy-to-grow heirloom seeds. Yes, only $37.95. That's 70% less than our competitors. You could buy 3 Survival Seed Vaults for less than one of theirs. The Survival Seed Vault from MyPatriotSupply.com includes detailed planting and seed-saving instructions and ships same day. Plus, all orders over $49 ship free. MyPatriotSupply.com is American-owned by patriots like you, passionate about freedom and preparedness. Call now, 866-229-0927. That's 866-229-0927. Or discover more emergency preparedness items when you order at MyPatriotSupply.com. Choose the original. Choose the Survival Seed Vault at MyPatriotSupply.com.
You make a great team. It's been that way since the day you met. But your erectile dysfunction? It could be a question of blood flow. Sometimes when a politician has been in D.C. too long, it goes to his head, and he just can't seem to get the job done. Used on a daily basis, WinnerEgg in Congress will help you every time the moment is right to have your voice heard at the federal level. When using WinnerEgg, it's important to note that the borders will be secured, Second Amendment rights protected, Obamacare and Planned Parenthood will be defunded, and common sense will be used in solving the nation's problems. Other signs of erectile dysfunction may include extreme skin discoloration, the inability to punch oneself out of a wet paper bag,
or maintain a spine in the face of liberal opposition,
amore di gramínea verde, smoking,
and golf. If you have a boner lasting longer than 23 years, seek immediate medical attention. WinnerEgg. Because Boehner shouldn't count his chickens before they hatch.
It's Boehner.
I'm J.D. WinnerEgg, and I approve this message.
We'll all get up. It'll be anarchy.
Anarchy!
Lit Free FM with Nathan Frazier.
Sundays on Truth Frequency Radio.
Sticking with us through that 3-minute break. This is the final segment with our guests, Chris and Cherie Geo, today. And we've been talking about, well, all kinds of interesting things, in my opinion. Some of the collective consciousness ideas, some of the evolution of mankind kind of ideas. Before we get too far into this, I'm going to do something that I don't normally do and have been meaning to do. I'm going to open up the phone lines. If you guys out there have questions or comments for myself or Chris or Cherie, either about some of the topics that we've discussed, or if you have other topics that you think you'd like to pick their brains about, I would really, really welcome any phone calls at this point. You can call 866-37-TRUTH or 866-378-7884. Again, if you've got questions or comments for Chris and Cherie Geo or myself, pretty much about anything at all, we'll be looking to take a phone call or two this afternoon or this morning, wherever you are at. Anyways, getting back into our conversation with Chris and Cherie Geo, I'm wondering if you guys have any insight or care to make any predictions about this new year that is unfolding before us. What do you guys think might happen this year, if anything?
TFR is going to grow bigger and better.
Heck yeah, dude.
You know, it's so difficult to say at this point, JD, because we've had so many predictions come and go in the past that we followed, everything from asteroids falling out of the sky to bank runs and economic crises and World War III. I think a few years ago it was easy to predict these kind of things because we knew what their agenda was and we knew how they were going to push it forward. However, there's been so many of us light workers, and I'm using that for a better term, but so many of us light workers activated, that there really is an energetic force at work here that is stopping all of their plans. So what they have planned for 2015 is World War III, economic collapse, nuclear detonations here in the United States. Now, are we going to see those? That's the question, because we are really stopping all of this, and we're exposing a lot of this information as well. Take Syria, for instance. The independent media exposed so much information that they simply couldn't start that war with Syria, and they put that on the back burner. So it just goes to show that we are becoming even more powerful than they can ever imagine.
Are you guys of the opinion, like I am, that the last couple weeks have felt really bizarre, as if there's some kind of shift? And I know we're talking about the consciousness shift right now, but I'm not really speaking about that. It just seems like everybody emotionally and energetically, the last couple of weeks, like we've gone into some kind of new phase or some kind of side dimension. I don't know how to describe it really accurately, but it just feels like something has kind of shifted in the world over the last couple of weeks. Are you guys picking up on any of that as well?
Well, the Earth goes through a cycle every single year. That's what the winter solstice is all about. The solstice celebrates the longest night and the shortest day. And then after the solstice, the days become longer. And up until the spring equinox, which is around Easter, where the days officially become longer than the nights. So the Earth is going through a natural death cycle right now and being reborn. And so the energies are just naturally low. And what they've done is they've injected Christmas, this artificially happy time, upon a time that is naturally energetically low, and it really confuses people and creates a lot of havoc and chaos. And that's why we have all these Black Friday deaths going on and people committing suicide around this time. So that's one element of this time. However, in this past couple of weeks in 2014, yes, there has been a polarization of negative energy that is very constrictive around people that are aware of this energy, and even worse, around people that aren't aware of these energies. Because we, being aware, we know that this is just an energetic cycle. It's going to pass. Things are going to get a little bit better, and so we just bear with it. But it confuses a lot of people because they don't know what they're experiencing. But yes, between November 15th and I want to say around December 25th, everything was at a low like I've never seen before. I felt depressed and just I couldn't think. I couldn't do anything. I was just wrapped around in this negative energy. And then after the 26th, 27th, that's when everything just started to change. Now, there's a couple of different theories behind this. It could be astrological, where you have different planets aligning up with each other. But if you want to take it way into the woo, way into the really deep levels, I would say that they have been experimenting, probably through the use of CERN, with changing the timelines and changing the time stream. And there's been phenomena that we've documented and others have documented as well, to where buildings will start to pop up out of nowhere overnight, literally. Things have changed within the matrix, within our reality. There's a Denny's over by where we used to live down in Littleton, and we were speaking to a couple of people at that Denny's. And I asked them, do you remember these hotels being here? No, I don't. They just popped up overnight. Okay, me too. And everybody I talked to doesn't remember that set of hotels being there, and all of a sudden they just poof, popped up one night. So I think this is a remnant of the time shift. You shift the timeline and you start to see a little bit of a difference. The first time that I noticed it is when I go fill up my water bottles at this reverse osmosis place that I'd been filling them up for years, and it was gone. The whole building was gone. Everything, it was like the place never existed. And we were just there just a week before that. And I specifically remembered because I'd been going to this place for quite some time. So that was the first indication. I thought I was crazy, but then I started talking to others, and others have started to experience things like this as well. So they are definitely playing with the timeline, if you want to go that far into the esoteric. But I think what's happened is that we were on a very negative timeline, and then all of a sudden we shifted into something a bit more positive right now. This is all speculation. None of this can be proven, but if you use your third eye and your intuition a little bit, you might be able to see a little bit of what I'm feeling.
Man, that is super fascinating. I mean, seriously, because you're making me wonder about an incident that happened to me about a year and a half ago. I know you guys don't know me out there as a friend yet, but I'm super into watches, okay? Like, super into watches. I grew up infatuated with mechanical things. I worked as a setup guy in a manufacturing plant for a long time. So I really like watches. And one of the watches that I owned for a long time was an Omega Seamaster Planet Ocean, which has got a dual escapement coaxial chronometer. Okay, so follow me this logic. The Omega dual escape is considered to be the most accurate mass-produced automatic movement on the planet. Like, my watch was within 30 seconds a year all the time. I don't care anybody out there thinks that Rolex is good. They're not as good as the coaxial escapement from Omega. One morning, I woke up, and I'd had my watch for a year, never took it off, and it was 20 minutes late. It was 20 minutes to the second behind every other clock in the house. And it totally threw me off, because if there's one piece of equipment on the planet that shouldn't be subject to something like that, it was that watch. And I took it in for servicing. They said everything was perfect, is absolutely fine. But 20 minutes completely sucked away and only affected me. So I was kind of concerned about that also, and talked to some of my friends about it, and they thought, of course, I was insane. But that the fact that you brought the idea that CERN could be being used to kind of change time, man, that is such a fascinating concept to me. And I'm wondering, what do you think the connection is between CERN and how would CERN work to do something like that? Would it be a byproduct, or is that what they're actually trying to do, you think?
I think that's what they're actually trying to do. I think they're trying to create a black hole, from what I can tell. This whole search for the God particle, I think that's just a cover. And then they even came out and said, well, it's not big enough for us to do what we want to do, so we wasted all this money. I don't think that's true at all. And you do have to remember, too, that the government, when they build something, they build two of them. There's not just one. There's one for the public, and there's one that's private. Mm-hmm. So it may not even be CERN. It could be another CERN-type unit somewhere else that's creating all of this, but everything from this point on is just purely speculation at this point. No way we can actually prove any of this. But when you start to see things like your watch 20 minutes behind for absolutely no reason, or 20 minutes ahead, or you see buildings popping up out of nowhere, something is definitely going on. Go ahead, Trey.
It's kind of like with the Philadelphia experiment. They tried to say the Philadelphia experiment was to develop cloaking so that the Russians couldn't see them on radar. That's a lie. The Philadelphia experiment was simple, and it was directly to go to interdimensional travel. It was all about interdimensional travel. And once they figured out how dangerous it was, then they decided, okay, we're going to do something else in order to get this done. And then that's when they came up with the whole idea for CERN, I think.
Yeah, so think about this. They've been experimenting with this kind of technology, documented for at least 70 years since the Philadelphia experiment. Mm-hmm. So in 70 years, how much progress can they actually make? Leaps and bounds, in my opinion.
Oh, I can't imagine that. I'm always astounded with just the simple stuff they show you on the television or on whatever, because you know that what they've got has got to be 40 years beyond that. Like, there was an article today, I skipped over it in the tech section, because they just annoy me, these tech articles now, but it was about Russia developing these, you know, autonomous robot tanks, right? Okay, so that's a little tank. It's 700 pounds, and it runs around. It's got a machine gun on it, and it'll last 10 hours. Horse crap. Like, there's no way that is the pinnacle of Russian technology. A, you're talking about building drone targets is what you're talking about. You're just basically putting crap out in a field so that people can practice their drone shooting capability, because, you know, if we don't think that Russia has drones at this point, I mean, really, that's the pinnacle of Russian technology, is a tank that can drive itself. They're hoping they'll have it ready by 2020. Like, it seems like all the time they keep everything out there in this future, you know, like it's like, oh, we're going to develop this and it'll be here in 10 years. And then 70 years from now, you might get a hoverboard, you know, kind of stuff. And where's my jetpack? You know, it's 2015. Everything that I want is still out there in the future. But we know for a fact that the technology with DARPA exists to do just about anything at this point. If we don't have people on Mars at this point, I would be surprised. And yet, I can't have a car that'll drive itself, or a flying car, or any of those things, because they're all put off into the future. I feel like that whole futuristic thing is like part of the agenda, you know?
I think it was Bill Gates who said that they have to be very careful with how they release technology, and they have to do it very incrementally, because with technology, we basically destroy the whole power structure that they've set up. Mm-hmm. And so I believe that they have technology which is at least 50 years, some would say 500, some would say light years ahead of us. Ooh. But they don't release it to the public.
Right. Well, we were talking to Dr. Richard Allen Miller the other day. I think it was him that said that we effectively live in that movie They Live. Literally, as perfect as that movie is, it's like exactly what's going on around us right now.
Paul Hellyer, defense minister for Canada, he states that there are four types of extraterrestrials that we are working with that are working with the federal government right now, the U.S. federal government. And this is a head of state. This isn't some kooky conspiracy theorist. This is a politician that's coming out and saying this. So I tend to feel that, yes, we do. We are working with these extraterrestrials, and everybody's yelling for disclosure and, oh, disclose it all. They're not going to disclose it all. They're not going to disclose all their technology. These people are liars. They've always been liars. They're working for their own agenda. They're not working for the agenda of the people. And that's why when people scream, we need a new investigation for 9/11, it sounds ridiculous to me because, number one, we're never going to have a new investigation of 9/11 because they're the ones that caused it. So what are you doing? You're asking the criminals to investigate themselves. But number two, we've already had a new investigation of 9/11, which is the independent investigation that we, the independent media, have done. And we've exposed the truth behind 9/11 over and over and over again. Same with the truth behind extraterrestrial contact. So stop begging the people who have enslaved us to loosen the chains a little bit, taking control of the situation ourselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, I always giggle at this idea of disclosure anyway, because what I don't understand what people are expecting. You know what I mean? Like, A, everything is CGI now, okay? I saw Tupac perform as a hologram, okay? There's nothing you can show me on television at this point that I would believe. I don't care what it is. It just makes no difference to me at all right now. I know that everything that these people are capable of, they could produce an alien invasion. So it's like all these people out there that want disclosure, I don't understand what it is that they're even asking for. Because to me, if they're gonna come out and say, yes, you know, we're in contact with alien, no one's going to believe them anyway because they're going to use the mainstream media to disclose it, and all the alternative media is going to look at that and say, oh, they're coming out as Project Bluebeam and blah, blah, blah. Like, I don't even see a direct route to disclosure happening at this point, you know?
I have a theory, and the theory is based on Bill Cooper's Behold a Pale Horse. Mm-hmm. And in that book, he details two landings that took place, I want to say, around the 40s or the 50s. And the two landings, the first one was from a humanoid species, and the other was from the Greys. And the humanoid said, we will teach you higher consciousness, we will teach you how to live in harmony, we will teach you free energy, we'll teach you how to move your planet up in consciousness, but in exchange you have to get rid of your nuclear weapons because they're disastrous, not just for our dimension, but for interdimension as well. When we detonate an atomic bomb, it resonates throughout different dimensions, not just ours. So we're not just affecting us, we're affecting other timelines and other inhabitants of other dimensions as well.
Wow.
And then the other landing by the Greys came. Oh, they even warned us about the Greys. They said, don't trust the Greys. The Greys are liars, and they're going to manipulate you. And they don't keep their word. And so the Greys came down and said, nuclear weapons, you don't have to disarm your nuclear weapons. Here, we'll give you our technology. You give us your DNA. And so we made a deal with these Greys that said that they can abduct whoever they want that's an American citizen, but they have to document it, and they have to keep a record of everybody that was abducted, and they have to put them back in the exact same place and wipe their memory from the experience so they can have no memory of this whatsoever. The other stipulation was that the Greys were only going to work with the United States. Well, what happened over time is we started finding out that the Greys were working with China. They were working with Russia. They were abducting people and not cataloging them. People were starting to remember the experiences, and the Greys basically just did whatever they wanted. And so we've set up bases with the Greys, and we're trying to get rid of the Greys, but we can't because they're technologically advanced, and we kind of made a deal with the devil. So that's what Bill Cooper talks about in Behold a Pale Horse. Let's take it a step further now and theorize that this whole Project Bluebeam is actually a ruse, is actually a cover, because let's take it a step further and say that the humanoids said, we're going to return at a particular date. And if you haven't gotten it together, if you haven't disarmed your nuclear weapons, if you haven't started creating, you know, a one world consciousness, not a one world government, I'm talking one world consciousness where people are living as humans instead of living as Americans, Europeans and Russians and, you know, all this different thing. And then we're going to come over and we're going to show your people how to ascend in consciousness. What if we created Project Bluebeam in order to stage an alien invasion for when the real ones actually return? We can say, they're attacking us, they're doing this, they're doing that. Or even the whole thought of Project Bluebeam, as soon as an alien actually starts to visit, then we start to say, oh, that's Project Bluebeam, and or we're under attack. So it's a two-pronged attack for the two different type of minded people out there. Some people will react in fear. Other people just simply won't believe it. But the entire point is to keep us disconnected from these higher consciousness beings that are coming to make the world a little bit better, or to show people how to live a little bit better. Just a theory, but it's something to speculate for sure.
Well, it certainly is. I mean, you have to look at any of these types of plans as an agenda in either direction. I mean, that's kind of the key to trying to figure out any of this stuff, is figuring out whether or not what we've been told is true, or whether or not it's something that they wish that we would believe, or something that we might all act on. That's a really interesting idea. I'd never really thought of that.
Well, with Bluebeam, why would they spend billions upon billions of dollars on a project and then declassify it and put it out there? It was put out for a reason. See, this is what's making me think down these lines, is that Bluebeam has been put out there. So you can go up and look up the documents right now. Now, on the surface, Bluebeam says that they will use barium and aluminum sprayed in the sky, as we're seeing in the chemtrails, satellites from space to project holograms. And the official reason for Project Bluebeam is to project religious figures over enemy armies and make them stand down. So we're fighting Muslims, for instance. You project Muhammad, and then put audio hallucinations into their ears saying, this is Muhammad, you need to stand down, et cetera, et cetera. That's the official reason for Bluebeam, but then it's evolved into a staged alien invasion.
Wow. That's just so crazy. I mean, I understand the idea that that it could be genuine, or it could have been a militarized option, but the potential there existing for them to fake an invasion, to me, is just, there's just too much there to discount. You know what I mean? I mean, to me, it's like disclosure is a non-thing, because I already openly admit that there has to be intelligent sources of life out there. I mean, there's billions and billions and billions of stars. It'd be pretty arrogant to think that all that space was just for us. So to me, it's like most of us that have been studying this stuff for a long time already kind of understand that disclosure has happened, or that certainly the government is working with these technologies. But that's just a really interesting idea, Chris. I'm glad you shared that with us today.
It gets pretty deep, and you know, all of these hypotheses, they start with the facts. And then you take those facts and you start to try to think like a chess player. What are the next 5 and 10 moves that they're going to make based on these facts? So you don't ever come up with a theory just based out of absolutely nothing, because that's ridiculous. But you get some factual information like Project Bluebeam, the documents behind it. You see the chemtrails being sprayed in the sky. Then you start to theorize, okay, well, how can they use this? And then you start to come up with some hypothesis. And then as time progresses, your hypotheses are either vindicated or they're proven to be wrong. But there is nothing wrong with being wrong. And ultimately, there's nothing wrong with changing your analysis on a situation based on new information. A lot of people like to try to box you in and say, oh, well, your view should be this. And if you're changing your views, then that means that you're backpedaling, or you're doing this, or you're doing that. No, no, no. What it means is that you're doing research.
Yeah, it means that you're growing spiritually, and you're actually doing that thing that we were all supposed to be taught how to do in school, called learning. And that to me, you know, these people that become self-appointed guardians of the status quo drive me absolutely crazy. I was in a conversation maybe a couple of months ago with someone, and this someone really espoused the fact that they were libertarian, you know, and that they were, that was really it, that they were libertarians. So I had to ask them. I said, you know, what does the word liberty mean, you know? And they couldn't tell me anything, right? And so I started to talk to them about monetary policy and just really a lot of the simple kind of 101, this is stuff you should know, Fed is not a national bank, similar things like that. And this person literally stopped me in the middle of the conversation and said, I'm not interested in learning anything that is going to make me question my place in society. And I thought, wow, so you're 60 and you're done. Like, you've achieved perfection. You don't have any more reason for spiritual growth, and you certainly wouldn't want to learn something. I think that's stupid, and I like to define stupidity as the willful application of ignorance. And I'm glad that you mentioned the fact that there's nothing wrong with being wrong, but in our society, we seem to make it like a there's a stigma against people who don't know something. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you kind of get the situation where, oh, you don't know that, you must be stupid, and nobody wants to admit that they didn't know anything, which is, to me, should be, when you learn something, that should be celebrated, because you're able then to assimilate that information into your consciousness and make appropriate decisions about the world around you, which is, again, part of this whole learning thing that I think we're all supposed to be doing here. I don't know. I'm weird. I've got "no more" tattooed on my knuckles because I think everybody should know more about me and about life. And I think that's, you know, maybe I'm different. Maybe we're different, Chris and Cherie. I don't know.
As long as you spelled it N a K N O W, then we're good.
I did. That's exactly
good,
how I spelled
it. I've seen some tattoos on Facebook where people are misspelling the tattoos, and I'm going, oh my God. Yeah, knowledge. Knowledge was spelled like N O L. And I don't even remember how he spelled it, but it was something ridiculous.
My favorite's the kid who's got no regrets tattooed right on his chest, and it's R-A-G-R-E-T-S, regrets. And I was just like, oh, wow, that's poignant. I love it. But you know what I'm saying, though? It's like, we in this culture, especially in America, seem to we really seem to stigmatize ignorance. And to me, that's, you know, part of the plan. It keeps us from wanting to grow and understanding that there's more information out there. And really, it should be ultimately our responsibility to get that information, because that's, you know, at the end of the day, we're all supposed to be responsible people. You should know how to file a lawsuit and how to set a bone and how to grow food. And you should know how to do all of those things. And at some point, you don't know how to do any of those. And there's no shame in that, I guess, is my point.
Right, right. We all have to learn. And the more you learn, the more you realize how much you don't know. And that's why the number one thing that will get a guest banned from our show is when, and we've only had one do it in the 5 casting, is saying, "I have all the answers, listen to me," and nobody else.
Ooh.
That tells me right there that they know nothing, because the more you learn, the more you realize how much you just don't know.
Yeah.
And we're all bringing different puzzle pieces to the table here. And this is a huge picture. It's not a picture that just one person can paint. But if we all put our puzzle pieces together, and that's why we have 31 shows on Truth Frequency, and some of them that hate me, they hate my, well, they don't hate me personally, but they hate my content. They think that I'm very offensive, and they think all of that. Oh. But, and I can't stand their content either, because I just don't agree with their views. But if we don't bring all those puzzle pieces to the table together and lock all those puzzle pieces, we're never going to see the big picture.
Well, and again, that's, you know, that's kind of the goal here at Red Pill too, is to bring good guests on and to provide listeners with the ability to get a wide variety of information, because you might hear something that spurs, you know, it might be a concept that you're not familiar with, and it might spur some kind of thought that makes a connection go off in your brain that you hadn't had before, and all of a sudden light bulbs are going off. So, you know, again, Truth Frequency, ladies and gentlemen, please support the network. These Chris and Cherie work so hard to make this place a forum for all of us to learn from, and there's always something else out there to learn. So if you can, please go hit the donate button. Give them a couple of dollars. I mean, we're already essentially part of the largest alternative radio network in the world, but there's no reason that we shouldn't just continue to grow and stomp everybody else into the pavement. You know what I mean? But anyway, guys, we're about out of time. Any final words of wisdom from either you, Chris, or Cherie? Well, we might have lost them, ladies and gentlemen, so I'm going to have to bid them a fond farewell. Always so fun to talk with them, because they always are so insightful. I hope you guys enjoyed that little bit of an interview with Chris and Cherie. Tomorrow, we're going to have a surprise guest on, and that's going to be a surprise to me and a surprise to all of you, because I don't know who it is yet. So keep an eye on redpillreports.com, and you'll be able to see on the website there once we know, then you will know. But do stay tuned to Truth Frequency for the rest of the day. There's always so many fantastic hosts that bring great guests on, great content. Can't tell you guys how appreciative I am to be a part of all of that. And, of course, Wednesday, Commander Dale Brown will be back on the show, so do set your alarms now. That is a conversation you guys are not going to want to miss. He is absolutely one of my very favorite people on the planet. And I'll tell you what, I don't vote in elections because I don't particularly want a master, but here's the deal. If you can get Larry Pinkney and Dale Brown on a ticket in some form somewhere, I will become a voter again, and I'll vote for them, because those two gentlemen, I think, can change the world. So thank you guys for tuning in once again to your Daily Dose of Deep Programming. This has been your Red Pill Reports for the 5th day of January. We will see you guys tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
The Apple's iPhone 5S has been very successful in the US, but we realize that people here in India cannot afford the iPhone. That's why we've decided to work closely with the Apples to bring the iPhone experience to India. We call it the iPhone 5X. The iPhone 5X was built with advanced new hardware. The phone runs on the new Apple's A10 Snapdragon 7870 HD 2-liter turbo Galaxy 29 GHz processor. Our advanced operating system features some of the best apps out there. We have classics such as Instant Gram, Samosa Crush Saga, World of Duty, Call of Warcraft, and Temple Run, in which you get to run from an actual mob of Hindu priests.
And to wrap it all up, we have 24/7 customer service lines in case you idiots need help with your new iPhones.
Hello, welcome to iPhone tech support. This is Ben Katesh.
Are you sure you're not one of those outsourced white people?